I would invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 28 this morning. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. Our focus this morning is going to be primarily on verse 6, but we will be using all the context around verse 6 as well. But we're going to look most specifically at three specific phrases that we find in verse 6, and that's going to be our text. So let's listen together to God's Word. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Amen. May God bless the reading of His holy word. Well, brothers and sisters, this is where we get the whole idea, these gospel summaries of the account of the resurrection. This is where we get our knowledge of the resurrection, right here. Jesus rose from the dead. You just heard it read. Maybe this is the first time you ever heard it. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's the millionth time you've ever heard it. Jesus rose from the dead. And that's one of the most important truths of the Christian faith. So central is the truth of the resurrection for the Christian faith that the apostles and the early church changed the day of worship from the seventh day, Saturday, to the first day of the week. You don't do that. You don't change a God-commanded day of worship to a different day unless this is the most decisive thing about the worship that you do that you can imagine. The resurrection is rightly the day on which we worship God and Christ. And you know, the resurrection has been celebrated ever since that first resurrection Sunday. We don't just remember the resurrection at what we call Easter. We remember the resurrection every single Sunday. We remember the resurrection. Every single Lord's Day, we gather to worship Jesus because He rose. And we should remember the resurrection every single day. We worship a living Savior. Everything we believe about salvation hinges on the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. The Apostle Paul says, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, your faith is futile and it is vain. You might as well worship Buddha. You might as well worship something called Allah, or you might as well worship your car. Because if the resurrection didn't happen, it's useless to worship anything. There will be no life. There is no hope. nothing will matter. But Paul says, if Jesus rose from the dead, and he did, then everything that the gospel promises you about salvation is now true for your life. It really is now the hope that passes all understanding. It's now the peace that the Bible says it is. So Christians need to think about the resurrection all the time. We need to think about it all the time, not just today, not just once in a while. Every day, we ought to remember the resurrection, really. Because this is the heart of the gospel. And I want to do this morning is I want to think about the resurrection, and I want you to help you learn how to think about the resurrection by looking at this passage this year from Matthew 28, verse 6. It's a simple account. These are three simple statements. They are amazingly profound, and you could spend the rest of your life thinking about them and trying to understand them and still not be able to fully grasp them or tap them or exhaust their significance. Three simple statements. But each one of them helps us grasp something of the enormous comfort that the resurrection provides for us. So we ought to master each one of these phrases. They're very simple. You kids, you can learn this. You can learn this verse. It's very simple. It's so simple that it doesn't even take you any time to memorize this verse. It goes like this. He is not here. He is risen. Just as he said. See, you already know it. You can't forget it. Let's take a look at what it means. The first one, he is not here. He is not where? Where are they right now when an angel says this to two women called Mary? And where are they? They're at a tomb. They're at a grave. That's what a tomb is, kids. It's a grave. And so Mary and Mary are at a grave. Why? Because there's been a death. The death of a loved one. There's been a death of a loved one. And that is something that we know about, right? All the time. We face death. So this idea of the resurrection is something that's very important for us every day to think about. This whole idea of what's happening here in this passage. Our Lord Jesus knew the humiliation of death. He was placed in a grave. Joseph of Arimathea was given the permission to take Jesus off the cross and to prepare him for a burial and to put him in a tomb, his own tomb. And he did. He laid him there. And Matthew 27 says, Mary Magdalene and Mary were there right in front of the tomb watching this happen. And Jesus was laid in that tomb and he stayed there for 3 days. Jesus knows what it means to die. Jesus knows what it means to be buried. So think about that. Burial, death, it's an ordinary part of life. Another loved one has been ripped from our lives. That's how we feel it, right? Death is our enemy. Death leaves us with emptiness and grief. Remember, death is the reason that Jesus came into the world, though, isn't it? Because what happened? Death is the penalty for Adam's sin. God said to Adam, "The day that you eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die." Death came into the world because Adam sinned. And now all people die because Adam sinned. And everybody then experiences death. The wages of sin is death. So the Bible says Jesus had to suffer death because it's the curse. And he had to deal with every aspect of the curse. The Bible tells us Jesus' death and burial are a crucial part of the gospel. Death and burial are a crucial part of the gospel. Here, let me prove it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Listen carefully. 1 Corinthians 15 says this. Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received in which you stand." What's the gospel that Paul preached? What's the gospel by which he stands? What is the gospel by which you are saved? He goes on to read. "If you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain, I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Did you ever stop to think about that? The burial of Christ is part of the gospel. It's part of the good news. It's absolutely necessary as one of those things by which Jesus had to go through in order to save you and to save me. And that's what we're being confronted with here in this tomb. It's to state the obvious to say that Jesus' burial is a crucial part of the resurrection account, right? Because there can't be a resurrection if there hasn't been a death and a burial. It doesn't make any sense. But there has been a death and there has been a burial. Somebody died. Somebody was laid in a grave. So there is comfort for all believers in remembering the burial of Christ in a grave. When we gather at the grave of a loved one, when our own body is placed in a grave, we face all of that with the knowledge that when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil because our good shepherd is with us. Jesus went through death. And Jesus knows how to bring us through death. Our physical death is only going to be temporary. It's not the end. Why? Because in Christ, death is swallowed up in victory, the Bible says. Why? Because He is not here. He is not here. That's an important thing for us to think about every day. Death is swallowed up in victory because Jesus isn't in that grave. Well, that brings us to the second point. The angel says, "He is risen. Go look. Go take a look for yourselves." And so both Marys go right inside the tomb and they look around, and sure enough, there's no Jesus there. There's no body. There's nothing. Other accounts tell us that all of the grave cloths that were wrapped around Him, even His face cloth, are folded up and placed in a corner very neatly and nicely. He's not there. Jesus' body has not been stolen. That's what people spread as a lie about it. Jesus' body has not been stolen. Not by the disciples, not by anyone else. The angel said, "He has been raised." Literally, that's how it should be translated. He has been raised. Why do I make that point? Because the verb, you know, verbs have tenses and they have voices. Well, this is called the passive voice of a verb. And what that means is a passive voice is about a verb in which something is done to you. Something is being done to you. Jesus didn't raise Himself. God the Father sent the Holy Spirit with authority to raise Jesus from the dead. And God and the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Now, we've heard this so many times. He's risen. And it can become old to us. And we can kind of move past it and say, "Oh yeah, yeah, the resurrection, yeah, yeah." We should think about the resurrection all the time. This is the most incredible part of our faith. Jesus' resurrection signals the death of death. Jesus' resurrection signals that the curse against us has been broken. Because the only reason why people stay dead is because there's a curse over them. And Jesus doesn't stay dead because there's no holding of the curse on Him. Jesus' resurrection is a signal that sin's power has been broken. Because the only reason why people stay in graves is because of sin. And Jesus has paid for sin, and he himself had no sin, so he has to be raised from the dead. And so when you see something, when you hear about the resurrection, what you're hearing about is the death of death and the death of the power of sin and the death of the curse. And that ought to be of great comfort to us, because why? Because you're a sinner, and that means that you're under the curse, and that because you're going to die. That's an immediately relevant teaching, isn't it? And so the Bible shows us Jesus rose from the dead. Satan's mocking voice, Satan's oppression, Satan's hatred has now been broken and crushed under Jesus' victory here. The resurrection demonstrates that the saving work of Christ is now true and the only true and then the only valid hope of salvation that exists in the world. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? There are a lot of religions in the world, aren't there? Many, many religions in the world. They're all over the place. We live in a nation, in fact, where we rightly protect the right of every person to practice their religion the way they want to. It's called freedom of religious expression, and we protect that right. And there are lots of religions, right? But you know what gripes me is when people then say, you know, every religion is just as valid as any other. And that is so wrong. That is so wrong, because there's no religion in which the primary person of that religion rose from the dead. Muhammad did not rise from the dead. He died and he's still in his grave. Buddha died and he's still in his grave. Confucius died and he's still in his grave. But Jesus rose. You see, all religions deserve equal protection to be practiced, but not all religions are equally valid. There's only one valid religion in the whole world. Jesus Christ is the center of that religion. He is our Savior. And that's what we have to hang on to today and every day, is we have a religion that truly does matter. Jesus was raised for our justification. God said, by raising up Jesus, God is saying to the whole world, I accept the payment he made for sin. And because he is not a sinner, he has no claim, death has no claim on him, sin has no claim on him, the curse has no claim on him, so he has to be raised up. I have no just reason to let Jesus stay in that grave because he is perfect. But I also accept his death on behalf of sinners. And so I raise him. And by raising him, I am saying to the whole world, I'm confirming to everyone now, right here, God the Father in heaven is saying, I testify to you, his saving work is complete, it's full, nothing left to add. Sinners are made righteous in this man. He was raised for our justification. And that means we don't have to fear death anymore. Did you notice how many ways our songs talked about the fact that death no longer is our enemy? Did you notice we sang about death a lot today? And we're all supposed to go, oh yeah, we're all happy because of the resurrection. Why are we talking about death? Because death is the enemy. Death is the thing, right? And we don't have to fear death anymore. Now, I fear dying. Dying can be ugly. Dying can be messy. Dying can be painful. Some people die peacefully, but many people die in great anguish. And the process that many people go through to die is often very hard. And so nobody likes dying. We fear dying. But I don't fear death. I don't fear death itself. Why? Because death for believers in Christ is only now a transition into glory. Once I'm dead, no more sin, no more suffering, no more sorrow. I'll be raised up and seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus with all the other saints who have been gathered to Jesus in glory. Because Jesus paid it all. Because Jesus rose. And now He has the ability to raise me up and you up and bring us into eternal glory. And so the angel says something incredibly significant that every one of us ought to meditate on every day in a world of death and sin and curse. He is risen. The angel commands the women to go and tell the disciples. See, the news of the resurrection should never be kept to yourself. If you know the news of the resurrection, you should tell people about it. And so he says to these women, go tell the disciples. They need to know. They need to be comforted by this truth. They need to hear it. It's a wonderful privilege that God gives to these women to go tell this news. I believe it's a reward to them in its own way. These are the women, of all the people who did not desert Jesus at the cross, these women did not desert Jesus at the cross. Everybody else is gone. All the disciples are gone. But these women are there throughout the whole gory thing. And so, because of their loyalty, refusing to desert Jesus, God rewarded that devotion by giving them the privilege to be the first to see Jesus alive and the first ones to tell somebody about the resurrection. And that's even more remarkable because in those days, women were considered to be unreliable witnesses. Sorry, ladies, that was the case. I can't paper that over. I can't make that sound better to you. In the days in which Jesus rose from the dead, in the people of God, in Judah, women were considered to be unreliable witnesses and were not given standing, legal standing, to be a witness in a court of law. But Jesus thought that women were perfectly faithful, reliable witnesses of His resurrection. And He had no problem entrusting them to go bear witness of that truth. So sisters, take that, okay? Just go tell. So they run, they tell the news. And they did it with fear and joy. They couldn't figure out which one they should have. Should I be scared to death because I've just seen an angel and because I've just seen somebody break the power of death and I don't get it and I'm completely befuddled? Or should I just be filled with joy because Jesus is alive, however it happened? And they go run, filled with fear and joy. And suddenly Jesus comes to them on the way and He stops them. If they're going to go tell the disciples about Jesus' resurrection, then what they need to do is see me alive. Our faith is not in the empty tomb. Our faith is in the resurrection appearances of Jesus. We don't just say Jesus arose because there was an empty tomb. We say Jesus arose because there was a physical, bodily Jesus who walked around and talked to people after He arose. And Jesus wanted them to see this. Jesus isn't alive spiritually. There are people who've said that throughout the centuries. Well, you know, it's the spirit of Jesus that lives on among His people, and that's that. No, not at all. Jesus is bodily, fleshly, alive. And He comes to these women and He says, rejoice. Now, some commentators say, well, this word is really just a kind of a conventional, common, everyday greeting. You know, it's kind of like our good morning or hello, how are you? And they said, Jesus is walking along just saying, hello, how are you, ladies? That doesn't actually ring true. The word actually means rejoice, interestingly enough. And it could be used to say good morning, and it could be used to simply say, how are you doing? But it also could mean rejoice. And you know what happens? Jesus, the Bible says, has just won a great victory. His resurrection accomplished salvation. And the Bible says it was for the joy set before Him that He endured the cross and despised the shame and was lifted up and seated at the right hand of God. Jesus rejoiced that He had accomplished salvation for His people. Jesus was joyful that he had saved the people he died for. And Jesus wants us to rejoice about that. Do you realize, brothers and sisters, then, that we have much to rejoice in? As Christians, we have a lot to rejoice in. There's a lot of brokenness. There's a lot of sorrow in this world. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of hardship. But we have a lot to rejoice in, too. Jesus conquered the last enemy, death. And because he lives, then we have reasons to rejoice. Every Lord's Day, we gather to worship a risen Savior. God is not the God of the dead. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God of the living. And no matter what the pains, and no matter what the sufferings, and no matter what the trials are that you're going through, in a broken world, those sufferings are not worthy to be compared to the joy that is set before us. Jesus lives. Jesus is a life-giving spirit, the Bible tells us. Even if we die, yet will we live, the Bible tells us, because Jesus gives us life and he gives us resurrection power. And even as we walk the face of this earth today, we have the resurrection power of Christ raising us up to a new life, as we read in Colossians 3. We can live a life of faith. We can live a life of hope. We can live a life of obedience because Jesus' resurrection power helps us to do that. Otherwise, we're dead people doing dead things. But if you're a believer in Christ, you're not a dead person doing dead things. You're a living, raised up Christian who can live for Christ. God raised up Jesus to be the firstborn of many brothers, the Bible says. God raised Jesus up with the promise that if you and I believe in him, your body will also one day be raised up. Job said, "In my flesh, I shall see God." And that's true for you and me as well. We are going to be raised up bodily from our tombs one day, brothers and sisters, and in our flesh we're going to walk around in glory, serving the Lord. When you see Jesus in this story standing there in front of those women, when you see him in his flesh walking around talking, that is a picture of your own resurrection one day. The Bible says that's a guarantee. As certainly as Jesus raised from the dead bodily and walked around physically, so will you if you believe in him. And I love how specifically the passage gets as you go along, and it says the women held him by his feet. Jesus isn't a ghost. Jesus isn't a mirage. He's flesh. And the same Jesus who used to walk with them and talk with them, the same Jesus who used to touch them and heal them, the same Jesus who used to talk to them about their needs in life every day, and they would seek his counsel and they would seek his advice, that same Jesus is now the Jesus who's back with them. He's alive again. And here they are. They must have been on the ground. Why? Because they're touching his feet. You can't touch the feet of the Savior. It's not like he was levitating on the earth about 6 feet up all around and just kind of floating through the world. No, he was walking. His feet made footprints in the dirt. They were on the dirt in front of Jesus. Why? Because they recognize he's a king. He's God. He's Savior. And so they're worshiping him, the passage says. They're worshiping him. That's a technical term for worship that is used throughout all the Bible, and it means worship. Jesus is there being worshipped by his people. The risen Savior wants our worship. The risen Savior receives our worship. The risen Savior is worthy of our worship. And that risen Savior spoke to Mary and Mary. He comforts them. He says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Think about this. Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. He has the keys of death and Hades," Revelation 1 says. "He rules the world with truth and grace. You are more than conquerors through him who loves you." And that Jesus comes and says, "Be at peace, sisters. Be at peace. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. this powerful living Jesus can comfort you today. The powerful living Jesus can give you this same assurance today. In life, in death, if you will come to Him, if you will ask Him, He will be very happy to say to you, don't be afraid. Let me comfort you. That's what we're supposed to do with the risen Savior. In fact, that's the final thing, and we can be brief here. The final thing is, not only is He risen, but He's risen just as He said. Just as He said. See, Jesus told the disciples many, many, many times, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, and on the third day I'm going to rise again. But when everybody came to the tomb that day, there wasn't anybody who was expecting Jesus to rise from the dead. Nobody thought this was going to happen. And so the angel says, Mary, He isn't here. He's risen. By the way, just as He said. You know, we need to be challenged by those words today. These are a gentle rebuke. The point is, Jesus is to be trusted. Jesus is to be believed. All His words are truth. Everything Jesus ever said, everything Jesus ever promised is true. And so the question we need to ask ourselves about the resurrection when we think about the resurrection every day is, are we listening to Jesus? Do we really listen to Him? Really? Jesus tells you that by His wounds you are healed. So do you take your wounds and do you take your broken heart and you go to Jesus with them and say, Jesus, I don't know how you're going to do it, but would you heal me? That's listening to Jesus. If Jesus tells you that He is going to comfort you in all your sorrows and in all your trials, then go to Him and find comfort, just as He said. If Jesus tells you to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them, teaching them all that He has commanded, then you've got to go and tell the nations. That's given to the church, right? We have to go do this, just as He said. If Jesus tells you He'll be with you always, then you need to trust that. If Jesus tells you that His grace is going to be sufficient for you in all of your weaknesses and all your trials and all your hardships, He says, My grace will be sufficient for you. Then you can trust that. You can rely on it. If He tells you that your labor in the Lord is not in vain because He rose from the dead, then you can believe that. And you can go about and you can do your engineering work and you can design your sophisticated contraptions as engineers, and that's not vain. And you as mothers and fathers can raise your children in the Lord, and that's not a vain work. And you teachers can teach children day after day after day, and that's not vain. And a cop can go bust all of these criminals every day. And that's not vain, because Jesus said it isn't. Do you believe that? If Jesus said you're going to live forever in a new heaven, a new earth, in a glorified body, then you can take that to the bank. And if Jesus tells you your sins are forgiven on the basis of His sacrifice, then you should believe that. And so I want to leave you with this point, this final word. The Apostle Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you confess Jesus Christ is Lord? Do you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead? The Bible says you are saved. Jesus said that. Not Paul. Jesus said that. Brothers and sisters, confess that. Believe that. Ask the Lord to give you that faith. Live in that hope that you are saved because Jesus lives. He's not here. He's risen, just as He said. The fourth stanza, the song we're going to sing in a moment, I thought was a wonderful way to kind of cap that. Doubt may lift its head to murmur, scoffers mock and sinners jeer, but the truth proclaims a wonder. Thoughtful hearts receive with cheer. He is risen. He is risen. Now receive the risen King. Amen. And I would invite you to take your bulletins.